The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither then will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Now, what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And the son answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. If you're getting tired of Exodus, so am I. But those are the lessons that were given, and so those are the lessons that I use for my preaching. It's been a habit of mine since I was first ordained to always use the lessons for the base of my sermon, not something that I really want to say but doesn't fit the lessons. So here we are in the wilderness again, headed for Mount Sinai, where the law is to be given. They're thirsty. Now, they've already had a sample of God's gracious giving. They have already been fed with quail, with manna from the heavens, but that doesn't seem to have settled into their thought pattern. Now, they want water. You're in a desert. But they complain. And they say to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us here in the wilderness by thirst?" Well, Moses didn't do that. God brought them out of Egypt. God fed them when they were hungry. God's going to take care of them. But they don't think that God can do enough. Well, you know, the psalmist reminds us that God always takes care of us, always does enough and even more. But did that change anything? Not in the day of Jesus. He's teaching calmly in the temple, and the scribes and the Pharisees come to him and say, "We demand to know where you got the authority to do these things." Now, that was a good question for them to ask, because they were the authority. And they knew they hadn't given authority, so who did? They were a tad upset. So Jesus says, "I tell you what, if you'll answer one question, then I'll answer your question. What about the baptism of John?" That's a sticky issue, because of course they weren't among those who went out to hear John preach at the Jordan River. They weren't among those who repented of their sins and were baptized for the forgiveness of sin. They were the ones who said, "Ignore that man." But can they say that out loud? It's a sticky issue. If they say, "Yeah, that baptism came from God," then they're stuck, because they didn't pay attention. If they say, "He made it all up," then the crowds who think that John was a prophet will stone them. So they have to answer the only answer they can come up with: "We got no clue." Jesus gives them a parable, a very short one. Man who has two sons. One said no and then went. The other said yes and then didn't go. Which one did the will of the Father? Well, of course, the one who said no but then went. And Jesus says, "Then why didn't you believe John? Why weren't you among the first to go out? And even if you weren't, why didn't you then believe?" But, as the collect says, God shows his almighty power in deeds of mercy and pity. And so, God had mercy on the people of Israel in the desert. God has mercy even on the scribes and Pharisees. He says, "You know, because of what you're doing, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you." He didn't say, "Instead of you." And he didn't say, "And you won't get in at all." He said, "They will enter the kingdom of God before you." Even then, Jesus shows some mercy and pity on the people who are trying to get him. The Philippians are like the good son, the one who said no but then went. As Paul preached to them, they received the word of God and they began to live that word even in the face of persecution. And Paul reminds them of what that means for them. "You don't think too much about yourself, that you forget to listen to everybody else. You don't put your ideas in the forefront and leave somebody else's out. You got to live with humility. You've got to be the Christian that you were called to be." Now, I love the word humility. And we're coming up this Wednesday on the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the very symbol of sainthood in terms of humility. He was the humblest guy you could ever meet. He was also the guy that stood up to his father in the plaza and said, "You're no longer my father. Here is everything that you ever gave me. I'm giving it back to you. I owe you nothing. You owe me nothing." Humble man. Humility is a strange thing. Humility means doing two things: making a true assessment of the gifts that God has given you and your ability and willingness to use those gifts. To know who you are, what you can do, and how you can do it in the purpose of the church and the kingdom of God. That's the ground of humility. The other end of humility is that you always listen to what somebody else has to say. You always appreciate their gifts, their work, and you never put your work over theirs, because you are all equally gifted in the sight of God. Some have skills in certain areas, some have skills in other areas, but they're all needed in the life of the church. God shows his great power chiefly in acts of mercy and pity. He shows his gifts in the same way. He gives to some great and wondrous things, and others not so great and wondrous in the sight of the world. But in God's sight, each gift, whether it be washing the dishes or confirming people like a bishop, it makes no difference. Your gift is as important as anyone else's. And to know that, and to know those gifts, is the start of humility. In the middle of looking for a rector, you have that great opportunity to show humility, because you have the opportunity to listen to the voices of those around you, and never to put your agenda at the top of the list. That's a gift given by God to this congregation in the here and now. Imitate the Philippians and Paul. Be humble in your life with Christ. Amen. Amen.